Please listen as I read God's word, beginning with 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We have something of a convergence between our morning services that are tracking through Nehemiah and our afternoon services, in which I have been teaching on the subject of the happy Christian. You might remember that is the title of the book by David Murray that has been our subject in our afternoon services. Rather than teaching this afternoon, I'll be preaching. I'll be exhorting you from God's Word on that theme of the happy Christian. And as it so happens, one of the chapters is titled this, that the happy Christian is a happy giver. As David Murray likes to do, he displays this in an equation. So here's his mathematical equation. Giving is greater than getting, which equals positive, or equals happiness. Giving is greater than getting, which equals happiness. He makes this point especially recognizing that we live in an entitlement generation, something that Murray calls the gimme generation. You've heard of the Gen Xers and other generations. Well, he calls this the gimme generation. It seems well said that is a description of us. He cites a study by a Dr. Twinge that says that while we have become more confident, assertive, and entitled, Americans have also become more miserable than ever before. And I would confirm that observation, and maybe you would too, that we live in a society where people are very self-assured. They've been taught from a young age to love themselves and think well of themselves, but they are miserable. One quote from Murray before we come to 2 Corinthians. Murray says, "This entitlement mentality destroys initiative, independence, inventiveness, resourcefulness, motivation, the fear of consequences, and the link between cause and effect. It promotes indulgence, jealousy, conceit, laziness, and self-centeredness. It creates bad winners and bad losers." It creates sadness, doesn't it? And so today, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see that the practice of Christian charity blesses the giver. And so my exhortation is to sow bountifully, to be charitable in a liberal way. I'm going to begin by demonstrating from these words that God blesses charity based on his promises and his power. He blesses charity based on his promises and power. What does God promise here? Well, here Paul uses an example from farming. The example is one of planting seeds. That's very understandable, isn't it? Let's say that you've gone to Atwood's and you picked up a packet of seeds. Don't you love getting those packets of seeds in the springtime? Flower seeds or vegetable seeds. And so you open them up and you pour them out on your hands and, wow, there aren't very many there. And they're so tiny. And I'm going to put them in the dirt? Maybe you thought the very first time you planted them, oh, this will never work. But sure as the world, as you take those tiny seeds and put them in the ground, then those tiny seeds grow to be large plants, sometimes producing beautiful flowers, other times giving you nice ripe tomatoes in the middle of summer, other times more cucumbers or zucchini than you know what to do with. Just out of a tiny seed. From Paul's example, he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The point is, if you plant only a few seeds, then you'll only get a few plants. If you're grudgingly putting them into the ground, then what you receive is far less than you would have received had you scattered all of those seeds in your garden. And he lays his finger on something here that is very, very pointed and revealing of something in the human spirit. That all too often that we are grudging in the way that we help others. That we think of it as a loss. Here goes that money down the drain. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Wasted. Have you thought that when you have been helpful to someone else without expectation of return? If so, then you are like a farmer that goes out and has a handful of corn and you think, oh, I just can't bear to part with my corn. Maybe I can do this. Oh. And you plant one seed of corn. Now God is merciful. From that one seed of corn, there comes a stalk that has on it several hundred corn seeds, or maybe half a dozen ears of corn that have lots and lots of seeds on it. God is merciful, but think of how grudging that is. Paul lays his finger on that attitude of a grudging giver. And he does so to help you to understand that that attitude comes from a wrong view of God, a wrong view of your own possessions, and a view that is going to leave you miserly and wrinkled in sadness. You will clutch that handful of corn till the day you die, not wanting to spread it around. On the other hand, if you follow this analogy, Paul compares charity to taking that seed and spreading it liberally or generously. And here is what God promises. God promises that those who sow generously will also reap generously as well. Those who sow grudgingly or miserly, their reaping will be this of the same kind. They will reap miserly as well. Why is this? In the work of charity, it's because God regards charity as stemming from faith. God regards charity as coming from a heart that trusts in Him. Paul picks up wisdom from the Old Testament here. Listen to these proverbs. Proverbs 19:7 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and He will pay back what He has given." Or Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25. "There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." Paul picks that up and encourages charity with God's promise that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You know that Paul is a master of using words. In this case, go through that verse again and underline the word "all" or the word "every," and you would find this incredible promise of God given to you. He has all sufficiency in all things, so that you might have an abundance for every good work. This, and then he quotes from Psalm 112. "As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever." What Paul lays his finger on here is that God promises to bless the cheerful giver, both with spiritual blessing. Psalm 112 says His righteousness endures forever, and with physical blessing. Paul says, all sufficiency in all things, all abundance for every good work. There's spiritual and physical that is described here. As you might imagine, we must take a little bit of care in this promise. Some have made out an absolute rule of this giving so you can get. In fact, they have twisted it into that idea that you give so that you can get. And it's become called the prosperity gospel. That if you give to church, and particularly to the Bruce Parnell Pastoral Fund, that amazing promises will be given to you. If you give, you will get. You see that car in the parking lot that I'm driving? Well, you can drive the same thing. You know. Well, don't. You didn't see the car I drove up in this morning. Let me make out this absolute rule. You give a dollar, you get $2 back, maybe even more. And they change the motivation. They change the motivation to be self-centered. Give so you can get. The emphasis is on my getting, not on the cheerful giver and how that is a blessing to others. Now, it is a blessing to you, but it's a blessing not in that prosperity sense of the gospel. In fact, if you follow the analogy of the harvest, you might understand this a little better. Because a farmer is going to plant seeds and he doesn't know exactly what's going to come up. Some years it's a bumper crop. In other words, they set records in the produce that they get from that seed. Some years they barely break even. Some years there's a drought and they don't get anything. But as they sow the seed, as they plant the seed, they go out and they, in a sense, count that seed lost to them. It's gone. They can't go back out into the field and dig it up. But they have confidence that the Lord will grant a harvest of His choosing in good time. In a similar way, as you show mercy to others, as you give generously to the work of the church, there is a sense in which that money has gone to you. You've planted it. You don't think about getting it back. That's not why you gave it. You gave it to be a blessing. And it will be a blessing. And by God's promise, there is blessing that returns. And so Paul does speak about spiritual blessing. And in the context of thinking about the happy Christian, let me underline this, that one of the blessings that you receive is that God grants joy in the midst of your life. God grants joy in the midst of a life that has lots of physical needs, including financial needs. And yet, when you are miserly and clutching to your riches such that you cannot give to those in need, that affects your soul, doesn't it? One of the spiritual blessings, though, is that God loves a cheerful giver. And He pours out a radiance of His face upon that type of generosity. To put it bluntly, you will find joy in giving. In fact, if your giving is grudgingly, I would encourage you to examine your motivation. It could be that there's an idol that has taken home in your heart. An idol that you love more than you love the Lord. It may be that that idol leads you to clutch to it so that you can't bear to part. And yet, when your trust is in the Lord, those possessions you receive and hold with an open hand so that you are able to help in time of need. There is physical blessing as well. And here the power of God comes through. Paul points out the power of God to encourage us in doing this type of work. He says that God is able to supply. In fact, Paul even hints that those who are generous in their giving will be supplied so that they are able to bless more. That as there's a generosity of heart, that you will find your needs met. In fact, you'll find them met in a way that God enables you to be liberal even more with those who are in need around you. That righteousness and that physical blessing is a real encouragement to a posture of being a cheerful giver in this life. And cheerful is not the only word that Paul uses here. I want to take verse by verse and explain some of the words that Paul uses to describe the cheerful giver. The first is bountifully. That word literally means with blessing. So he's talking about those who sow bountifully as opposed to those who sow sparingly. It's a word that has in mind liberality, an idea of an open-handed generosity as opposed to that Scrooge-like miserly giving. It has the idea of planting a couple seeds or planting sparingly and reaping the same. As I've already demonstrated, this rests on the trust that you have in God to bring the harvest in the first place, let alone bringing a harvest that might be unexpected. If you count sowing a loss and grudgingly give, then you testify that your trust is in money. Instead, we say in God we trust. I'm thankful for that phrase there on our money, in God we trust. I hope it stays there a long, long time. And I hope we remember that in the work of charity. Secondly, I want you to think of the word deliberately. Paul doesn't use that word, but he says it this way. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Charity deserves some thought and some preparation. There are times where it rises up naturally, and it's good that you are able in time of need to step in to do that. You might think of the Good Samaritan who, in a sense, stumbles upon the man who was robbed and beaten and left by the roadside. And he was able to help that man. He helped him spontaneously. But it implies that there was some thought beforehand. But there's more thought that comes in the fact that he takes him to a hotel and he gives his word, I will return. And if you have expenses that aren't met, here's my credit card. You may use it to help this man. I will pay it. So he's making plans to be generous. He has purposed in his heart to help this man. In the same way, as you have opportunity to plan your budgets, to plan how you will spend your money, think carefully about having money that you can give to alms. And not just what we collect here in church, but think of having money that you might have available to help in that urgent need that comes up. Plan for it and be purposeful about being charitable. Thirdly, I'd just have you see that that this is given freely. Paul sets purposeful charity against grudgingness, someone who gives out of necessity. But instead, he says that we as believers give freely. Christian charity is given without expectation of return. It's given with an open hand and an open heart. It extends more than just a helping dollar or a helping hand. It connects and gives a helping spirit. In fact, David Murray goes on to say there are a number of ways that you can be giving towards those around you. I'm going to take that up next week in our afternoon service to help you see the number of ways that you can be generous and charitable towards those around you. But the free aspect of that charity is one that this passage in Paul really underlines. You don't give it because you're compelled to. You don't give it because you're trying to save face. You don't give it so that you can obligate that individual. You give it because there's a need, because you're able and are there. In conclusion, then, Paul says that God loves a cheerful giver. And here, I'll just close by saying that I'm struck, and I hope you're struck as well, how much of the work of charity touches your heart. It means that the battle that you face in this exhortation is often a very internal one. It's not measured by how much you give. It's measured by how you give. Where your heart is, where your trust is. Remember that the widow that Jesus acknowledged gave more than all those others who came and made a show of it. And she gave 2 pennies. Objectively, it was less than everybody else that had been there that day. But Jesus said she gave more. Out of her attitude, out of her trust, out of how she gave. And so my encouragement to you is that giving is indeed greater than getting. And that if you practice this, it will indeed bring about a joyful life. there comes a warning with this as well, and I've hinted at this as well. And I'll just urge you to ask the question that if you're miserable, and if giving is a chore or painful to you, that maybe you're holding on too tightly. Maybe you're clutching to an idol that has grown deep roots in your heart that you haven't known about. Well, instead of that, God is, through this, opening your eyes to how you are to cling to Christ instead. God does indeed love a cheerful giver. I pray that you will sow bountifully. With that in mind, I'm going to invite you to respond in song today, to respond in singing. I'd like to sing Psalm 112. We'll sing selection A. It speaks of the man who is blessed. And that man who is blessed is one who gives and lends freely. This is what Paul quotes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to sing it together. And I would urge you to sing it as a confession of your own heart, that this would be your attitude, that He would bless you with a cheerfulness. Let's stand and sing Psalm 112, selection A.